already under the United States. And today we have a structure that is the North Slope Borough, which is chartered by the state, by those people that came on the vessel. And that's, I believe, that's, I mean, it's the choice of the people to have so many structures. You could have 10 structures, you could have only one, but we've seen some of this, we've felt the symptoms of all these charters from the state and the federal charters that the under the Indian Reorganization Act. And I believe for these kind of sovereign people, the best structure that these people can run on is a federally recognized structure, not on a charter that will violate your right within 30 days. I mean, you know how the state of Alaska has violated minority rights so much in the name of the permanent fund. They invite these people that we invited to have their sovereignty to come to Alaska and be there for 60 days, and you are eligible. Then we are merely about 10,000 people. And we have how many billions of dollars that the government leases and which has been put in a permanent fund. And it goes a lot deeper than the permanent fund is just a lure to so that people would not bicker. But it really belonged to the people that gave the sovereign the sovereignty. I mean, the sovereigns are the minority people that which made a compact with the United States, and they gave the permission to the people of the Union that which chose to be sovereign under the state. And we has been abused by this authority in the name of the state. And I believe that when we are under the trust responsibility of the great sovereign, which is the Father, is the United States of America. And we all know that the United States of America has been in lack of its responsibility to its minority people. And we have so many federal laws in the name of natives. And we have pursued the Bi-Indian, the Indian Self-Determination Act, and all these acts that the government has made on behalf of the sovereign natives. See, that is why these laws exist today, because there is the two sovereigns that were there. It don't say who owns the title. It talks about the two sovereigns and the one that they are welcoming in as a union, as a state. And the United States, when they took over from the Russians, I mean, I don't know too much history about the Russian point of view, but I believe we are in the trust responsibility of the United States, and this committee, this Alaska Review Committee, should, because we've been going into the United States Ninth Circuit Courthouse and all the practically so many courthouses in the United States in the name of our sovereignty. And our sovereignty has been abused by the welcome sovereign, because they only looking at figures. They're not looking at our families, which is going to be suffering a great deal when this oil runs out, and during the process we will see some oil spills, and it's already happening today. And that is why the United States chose to be our sovereign caretaker. But our Turing ANGSTA, when the time ANGSTA was being put together, we all know that we had a president called President Nixon, which was convicted by the Congress in Watergate. And it was signed by the administration of Nixon, which was totally corrupt, for it was not beneficial to the Americans at all. It was just corruption. And that is why the commission would have to also review the okay of ANGSTA, because it comes from a corrupted administration of the United States. And what did they do to Nixon and his cabinet members? They convicted him. And today, I would not like to see people being convicted in that kind of conviction. But today, in order for my children and the other children to carry our sovereignty to the next generation, minority people will have to let the welcome sovereign understand these issues. I mean, we're in a critical period now that the oil companies no longer listen to us. They are just going to go after the petroleum products and what minerals we have in the Brooks Range. And today, the question of who owns what should be settled right away, because the very Statehood Act clearly states who are the sovereign. It was not the state of Alaska was only applying to become a sovereign to these two government sovereigns that it states in the statehood. And we all of us that is out there, and we are not trying to eliminate the white human race or any kind of human race. We are just only trying to maintain our own base, our own, that which we have lived on for millions of years. And how we maintain this is through the United States. But the United States has been stubborn and been ignorant in all matters. And that is why we have to go and ask our elders to write a resolution to the commission, of the review commission, to take us to the World Human Rights Commission in Geneva. Because the United States is our hostess, and it has violated our rights in so many ways because of their own personal gain, because of some of the entities that are chartered under the United States unions chose to just make profit on behalf of their oil companies. And us people should not be abused by these unions that is being taken care of the big sovereign, the United States. And us people, we will all have to talk to the United States, or if the United States can't understand, it will have to like I said, the review commission has to go in the light of the United Nations, because we have just almost went to the fullest. You know, the federal government has a law, the Bi-Indian and the Indian Self-Determination Act, that says to the fullest extent feasible in the name of minority. And I believe the federal government has been reneging on behalf of its responsibility, on behalf of the sovereigns that came on the vessel. I mean, that's the only way I see how the United States is just overriding us every time in the name of the figure. And just because we're a small race of people doesn't mean that they have to run over all over us. But we have an Inuit Circumpolar Conference, which, I mean, all the natives of the Arctic has created that, so for the betterment of us, to maintain the sovereign for us. And we, as ICC, would have to write that resolution on saying the United States has not willfully and lawfully followed its compact with the minority sovereign.
Excuse me, Mr. Edwardson, you're saying that under international law, the Inupiat were the sovereign people of the Arctic slope for thousands of years, and when the 18th century, the United States was established and became a sovereign nation, that a special relationship was formed between the United States and the native peoples of the parts of North America that the United States occupied, and that the sovereignty of the Inupiat survives to this day and should be respected by the United States. That's the point. And even though the state of Alaska was established in 1959, that didn't diminish the sovereignty that the Inupiat had always possessed. Is that the point, really, that we're getting at here?
Well, my point is, see, we've been into the courthouse in the name of sovereignty, and the conflict that I see, the state of Alaska and the federal government, is they're in conflict together because of their sovereigns that came on the vessel. And then you have the people that has lived there that are sovereign and has been recognized by the United States under Title 25, under the Statehood Act, and
President Reagan's statement just a year ago, he referred to the Native Americans as sovereign peoples with whom the federal government would deal government to government. That's your point.
Right. But the United States has been continuously been letting it continue for years and years. The time when the statehood says by itself, notes to decisions, the Statehood Act fails to deal with native use of lands. See, we have a super sovereign here that is supposed to be taking care of us in the name of the United States, but it fails to represent us every time when we need to be represented. And that is why I am saying that the ICC has to make a resolution to the United Nations in the name of human rights and to submit that to the United Nations Human Rights Committee.
So you think that its next meeting in Kotzebue next year, the ICC should pass a resolution that urges all nations with native minorities to respect their sovereign rights?
Well, what I'm saying is, see, we've been under the caretaker of the United States since the time of the statehood. And what I'm saying is that it fails, the government has failed to deal with the native issues, I mean, to the fullest extent feasible as some of the laws they've written. And we, the minority of the state, or the minority of the people before it became a state, has that right with the United States because it's a compact with the United States in between the natives. And that's how the state became a union, because of the agreement that the United States government and the minority had made in the caretakership. And every time we asked for help from the federal government, it has been more or less been going on the sovereign that came on the vessel.
Yeah, you know, when President George Washington was dealing with the native people in the early days of the Republic, he invited them to form their own state and then enter the Union as a state of their own, just as Alaska entered the Union as a state of its own in 1959. And President Jefferson repeated that, and President Grant, as late as about 1870, said maybe the natives should have their own state within the Union. Well, those things lie more than 100 years in our past, but it's worth thinking about them.
You know, all this oil development is still continuing, like we've been saying no to them for so long. And each time we have a hearing with them, we educate them a little more, and they still go on going. But I would like to thank you, this commission, for giving me this opportunity to share my thoughts with my people, and I believe that we as a whole, and with the ICC and the other natives of Alaska, will accomplish our sovereignty with the United States, because we're under the caretakership of the United States, which has their votes too. And I wanted my people to understand that, and for those people that are listening out in Prudhoe Bay or wherever you are, we're not in discriminating of your votes in our homeland here. We are only trying to maintain our status quo as a sovereign native. And we, as a native, had welcomed you guys to be sovereign in our lands and be beneficial to the United States from the both of us. And I want to thank the interpreters for today. I've been listening to the interpreters, especially that is a real wonderful thing that I've been hearing today, is the interpreting is the only tool that I believe is understanding, and right interpretation is the only tool that we have to straighten out this problem. In the meantime, the caretakership of ours has been neglecting to care for us. So how do you get the attention of a caretaker that neglects to take care of you? And what you do is you mention all these laws that that they have signed and that they would wake up. And it has been done before when the Watergate scandal was going on. And I believe it will work with our sovereign issue here amongst us natives. And I've taken too much time here, and I want to thank Justice Berger for taking a long time, and it's hard, but I appreciate your time and understanding the anguishment of the ANGSA, the symptoms of ANGSA that you have seen amongst my people. And thank you again.
Thank you, Mr. Edwardson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Berger. My name is Isaac Payutuk. I was born here in Barrow. And I grew up in Wainwright until both of my grandparents passed away when I reached adulthood. Up until that point of my life, I gathered immense knowledge from my grandparents and the people in my village. And they illustrated and practiced the common law of the land which we stood on. With this in mind, my observance and apprenticeship into adulthood as an Inupiaq was challenging. I was taken into homes by my grandparents, taught and told who the people were and what our relationships were to each other as a community and our common bond to the land. Having this in mind, history, health, family trees were just some of what was talked to me about. In my early years, I had figured life to be what my village was living through. Congratulations, you are now a beginner. Amongst all confusion, I had to register myself to the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and I was in the midst of a very different building with one adult and everybody else was kids. At the time, I did not know that this type of institution would be my next apprenticeship to adulthood for the next 12 years of my life. To make this shorter and clearer, by the 13th year of my life, I was asked by one of my cousins in Fairbanks to help protest against land claims. Fully understanding the United States Constitution, Treaty of Session, and the Statehood Act, I had to protest for the high treason and high crimes that were being practiced to their fullest extent by the United States and the state of Alaska. In my understanding, I knew that once again I was involuntarily put in such a situation where my lands were being claimed for the purpose of extracting hydrocarbons, and I was totally out of the picture to even defend myself as a citizen of the United States and recognized by the Treaty of Session and the Statehood Act. The wolf's mentality was in our congressional and Senate offices. And at the passage of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, it had to have been one of the hardest things to accept. I knew it was not right to accept an act fully knowing that the north of the PYK line, which we call the Porcupine Yukon and the Kuskokwim Rivers, was not sold to the United States by the Russians to the Americans. Our relinquishment to any country of our sovereign powers had not been put on paper or democratically dealt with. In the midst of this confusion, we as Inupiaqs weren't left with too many choices to resort to defend what was rightfully ours. In my understanding, when charges cannot be resolved in the system of the accused for high crimes and treason, It is understandable to take the last step to resolve a litigation is to take it straight to the United Nations, to be heard by the highest court on this planet. It was not for the elders, nor us today, neither those after us, to sell our sovereign rights and lands, for we have always shared and not alienated practical use of our lands. Like I said, we are not warring people. We are just practicing democracy economically. And the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act's passage, which has happened very young in my life and up till now, the confusion has been intolerable in the biggest land grab in the United States of America. Again, I thank you and your staff. Just Honorable Burgeon.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
My name is Dora Edwards, and in Iraq, I am in Kavingmu and a registered member of the Inupiat community of the Arctic Slope. The United States federal government have wrongfully subjected the Inupiat to their laws, such as the Alaska Native Allotment Act and the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. Without Inupiat consent, it makes it a dictatorship of the proletariat. That's absolute control of the economic and political power in a country by a government of the working class. Inupiat lands and waters have been stolen, exploited, polluted, and now dying through multinational industrial progress. There is a floating oil rig stuck in the shallows of Barrow out here, and hunters have reported seeing oil slicks around the surrounding area. When will all this piracy be stopped? Certain experts have appraised the Arctic resources in the billions of dollars. Still, we have no tangible assets, even when our homeland contains 50% of the world's oil reserves. Recently, oil company workers from Prudhoe Bay filed voter registration forms without legal endorsement. Oops. It is evident that the Inupiat are a minority in their own homeland. In 1880, in Alaska, there were 430 Southern colonials among 33,000 natives. In 1900, the immigrant population was about 30,000 against 29,500 natives. Today, the indigenous people are merely a small group of 70,000 among 516,000 Alaskans, and these are the 1983 estimates, who in turn represent a negligible quantity compared with the 235 million citizens of the United States of America. These figures are based on a report of Center for Strategic and International Studies, The Challenging and Elusive Arctic Region by Louis Ray. In issue of the Inupiat land, of the Arctic Ocean, and Inupiat life, ways, and means will have to be resolved on the international forum, in the world court. The Inuit Circumpolar Conference must execute the appropriate legal proceedings to gain full economic, political, and judicial rights in our homeland, including legislative and administrative powers. And further, that ICC require recognition of these rights from the national authorities of Canada, the United States of America, and Denmark, of the United Nations Covenant of December 16, 1966, on civil and political rights. Dobre.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
kuyanak ekatu sak Thomas Percha surian anak toke sumut inu surisuk kakin tawari inu piat aras kamiun tuwa katsinga ru puyu ang nagaru inu minak mani put ukiut akfin islit desa itsak threat matumasyong na kuyanak tamani asut nagusak karuak pungut nagkuya katsingut idanging asi inu sasak put nagusak karuak pok nagusak kami Amma tuwa katsi mapuyup inusua kuas tamasi. Amaru ukausupunga 1983 mi ICC ko atatmi nani utokana atatmi suangan ningani nunatin utsagata utokana nunatin nitut radio ako tingarungu unikaktuaks mimata alas kami nunapit tinong minu nuan nasi masunguru amaru unikaktua amisut amaslesut radio ku tusaqtaq simavangu naapinnaa pillungu nunanniittut utoqqanaat aammalu alaskamiu kanatamiul utoqqanaa taatsingersuarnaranni maanipunga maanna nuuk tussa nunatsinni illuqarfi annersaat counselinginngaanniik illuqarfik nuuk kalaallununaanni aammalu utqiyaavik alaskami ikinnutigiissagamik taava uangu suriaariniarparput Savaruniarparpu qano irillungu taakkua unnuuk aammalu utqiyaarvik suliqatsingiissanersut. I thank you, Thomas Bircher, very much for your tremendous amount of work you're doing for the Inuit. I am a representative of the Greenlandic Inuit. I am here as a representative of the Council of Nuuk, the biggest town in Greenland, and we are going to establish sister cities between Barrow and Nuuk, and that's what we are coming to work on here in this week. I'm lucky to have jumped into this review commission's hearings here, and also to the elders' conference. Mr. Bircher, the reason why I came here to say some few words is basically that I was here almost 1 year, 6 years ago, with my man and my child. And after the 6 years, what I have seen, what I observe here in Barrow, I can see that through these hearings, I feel that I learn something, and then again, I feel that I don't know anything about Alaska. But what I obviously can observe is that the Utqiyavimiut, the Barrow people, have not changed much. They have grown a little older. The kids have been grown up, themselves having kids. Some people have become rich, and some people have become poor. And the outsiders staying in Barrow have been multiplied a lot. And it's not only on the governmental plan, in the governmental working places, but also in the service function, they have been many. If you do not mind, I would like to tell you a little bit about Greenland.
Please do.
Maybe I will try to do it as short as possible, because it is the Alaskans' words which are important here. But maybe this my summer can illustrate some of our history. I went to Asivik in the beginning of July, which is a summer camp which is traditional, but which have died out in the through our years under the colonization of Denmark and our emancipation into the industrial society. But it was revived in 76. By some young people, and are now an annual annual happening in Greenland aside from all political groups and aside from all political bodies where people themselves like prove that they can still establish a camp as Inupiat. And a little after the Asivik, we experienced a celebration of the introduction of the Christianity, Christian trading, the Christianity and the trading posts of the colonizers, which came from Europe. It was a 250 years anniversary of that, and my parents were among those who were celebrating it. But I must tell that I come from a party in Greenland, Inuit Ataqatigiit, which is recognizing our sovereignty to Greenland as the majority. We are 50,000 people in Greenland, and 40,000 of us are Inupiat. We have our own language, as I spoke before, and our main disagreement between especially the elderly people and us younger people is that of the understanding of our history. Our parents believe that the celebration of the 250 years history of the colony Greenland is good, but our understanding is that, as ironically enough, just around the dates where we were celebrating these 250 years, there was found a whole village of 4,000 deers just around the area. And we were also, I'm representative of those who denied to accept the home rule of Greenland, not because we think that we should not have a home rule, but because we think that it gave our opposition too much power, which is Denmark. The Hjemmestyre, also the home rule government, controls schools and the governing of the internal Greenland, but we do not have any jurisdiction about the foreign policies, nor either the mineral resources underground, which makes that we, in fact, have a very little say to the ownership of Greenland. And we oppose that in our party. I must, if I should tell about the conditions in Greenland, I must admit, unfortunately, that we have been forced to create women's shelters because there is so much violence against women. And it mostly is based on liquor abuse, alcohol abuse, and it can be one of the reasons that the adult men in Greenland, the Greenlandic men, and the adult men of the foreigners are almost the equal amount, almost the same number of the natives and the non-natives, which makes our husbands or our men very aggressive in Greenland. But also we have many sicknesses, much cancer, and we do not know where it comes from. We oppose the development of exploitation of uranium because we have learned from the Indians from America how much danger it is to both the nature and the human, all living. I am glad that you Inupiat, or the natives of Alaska, have now the opportunity to discuss your law with the United States, which have probably brought you to today and what you are. But my country, Greenland, is also a land of great value, and my experience with Alaska makes me believe that when we have value, we must learn to say no, because otherwise I am concerned about if the Alaskan Inupiat, for example, become a minority in your own villages, then the majority have to decide. And I have learned a great deal again coming here, and I appreciate to have met you Inupiat, and you have a great culture. But if we want to give our culture and our languages a chance to survive maybe some thousand years, then our decisions these years are very important. I have nothing much to say, but thank you for listening.
Could I ask you a question?
Sure.
Under the Home Rule agreement with Denmark, the Home Rule government does not have jurisdiction over foreign policy and subsurface resources. So Denmark still has control of Greenland's foreign policy, and also it decides, does it own the subsurface resources?
There is, under the Home Rule government, there is a commission or committee or a, maybe, I don't know what you call it here, but it is a committee which is the one which will decide finally what is going to happen with the resources. And this committee consists of both Danish and Greenlandic politicians, and they have a veto right, both of them.
So both sides have to agree on the development of subsurface resources.
Yeah.
And what about the police in Greenland? Are they under the jurisdiction of the Home Rule government?
They have become, through the Home Rule, we have had the police's.
And you have control of health and medicine as well?
Health and medicine is state. It's Denmark.
Oh, it's Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
Are you part of the Danish National Health Scheme? Is that?
Yes, we can say so.
So that your government doesn't have jurisdiction over health care and hospitals?
Mm-mm.
Home Rule government, though, has jurisdiction over fish and wildlife and renewable resources generally. Is that so?
Generally, yes. Like the amount of catch you may catch, it is under the Home Rule government. And we are an industrial society. Our industries is fishing and fish processing, but sort of in a very rough way. We export it very rough, very cheap, where they, again, is reproduced both in United States and in Europe to smaller quantities and for bigger money. But that was taken care of the state, but the Home Rule government will take it over from January 1st, 85. Both the fish plants and the export.
So the most serious omissions in the jurisdiction of the Home Rule government are foreign policy and subsurface resources. Mm. I believe that as well as being a member of the Nuuk City Council, you're a member of the Greenlandic Home Rule Parliament.
Mm-hmm. I am. There are 25 members in the Landsting, and there are 11 of the other two parties, 11 each, and I am the third from my party.
You mentioned that abuse of alcohol is something well known to Greenland, and I can tell you that it's well known in northern Canada, and it's apparent to me from the hearings I've held in Alaska that it's something that is well known to Alaska. This has nothing much to do with ANCSA, but since you're here from Greenland and we may not see you again for a while, are there any special measures that you were taking in Greenland to combat alcoholism? And you mentioned women's shelters to protect women from family violence and so on, but apart from getting at the symptoms, so to speak, is there anything that your government is doing or you think it ought to do to deal with the basic cause, if you feel you can identify?